Government of India has announced a new Make in India plan for defense. In fact, this time they've started this plan with a ban. Now, it sounds counterintuitive, but what it means is a negative import list, which means that by this time, whatever you want to buy from overseas or whatever is in the supply line, you can have it, and then that equipment will only be manufactured in India. You don't have the option of buying overseas. What that does is two things. One, the armed forces then know that whatever it is in terms of specifications or what is called as qualitative requirements, each Army, Navy, Air Force, each of them has a separate acronym for this. General Staff Qualitative Requirements or Air Staff Qualitative Requirements, etc., etc. But then they will have to tailor that to what can be made in India. So then this idea of an ideal utopian equipment will go away. The second thing is, then Indian manufacturers will know that while they compete among themselves, they will not face competition from foreign bidders in the same category. That is the essence of this ban. Now, obviously, Modi government is laying great store by it. I may be guessing, but remember, this is the same government that wanted an 11 rupee currency note because that is supposed to be shagun and people use it. So, 101 items have been put on this list. 101, as you know, that's also a shagun amount. That will not be imported anymore, but it doesn't come into being right away. It has cut-off dates for different categories and different systems, some for December 2020, some 2021, and going up to 2025, which is sensible because military equipment tends to have long lead times. So once you've started buying something, or once you've evaluated something, finalized on it, you place orders. As we know with Rafale, orders were placed more than 2 years ago. The first five have come, and before the first squadron fully becomes operational, maybe another year still. So to cover for that lead time, this the beginning of this ban, the cutoff, extends up to 2025 for some equipment, but some will happen this year. Details of that you read in my colleague and defense editor Snehesh Alex Phillips' article, which we are sharing with you. Also, in a live question answer session he did with Rohit Tiwari today on government matters, we are giving you a link of that also. So you get all the details there, and he does the bean counting and he gets all the names of the systems and everything. That is not my area of expertise. In fact, I've got him sitting right in front of me to make sure that I don't make any errors here. And if I do, then you blame him, not me. Once again, that's a joke, you blame me. Now, let me talk around this policy. And let me declutter for you the mess in Indian defense procurements and Indian defense modernization. So one story that goes on all the time is that India is the world's largest arms importer. Now, it is both true and misleading. I will not say it's both true and false. It is true because in terms of sheer numbers, India is the largest importer. It is misleading in the sense that if India is the fourth largest military in the world, or one of the five largest, then all the others are not importing. India is the only one among the major five militaries of the world that is importing most of its stuff. America, Russia, China, they manufacture almost everything they need. They might buy a little bit from here and there, but they manufacture everything they need. India, on the other hand, manufactures a lot of basic stuff. We have ordnance factories, some of which waste their time making shoes and uniforms and parachutes and things like that, which is really low-tech stuff. That also not very good shoes. But most of the cutting-edge stuff India imports from overseas. A lot of it in the past from the Soviet Union and then on to Russia and some of the old Russian republics. In fact, I am watching this trouble right now in Belarus, and I was just checking out which Indian defense systems still rely on spares coming from Belarus, and it does seem to me that AN-32s, our transport aircraft, might have some connection there. So India has been importing most of its cutting edge equipment. That means almost all of India's aviation. So don't think of Sukhoi 30s as India made. They are assembled in India, but the kits come from Russia. So India has been either an assembly center or an import power. So true that India imports more than anybody else in the world, misleading because all of India's peers in the same ballpark of the world's leading military powers make their own stuff. So India is an exception and a bad exception. This is, you made the list of the top defense spenders or defense owners. At the same time, you are the biggest importer amongst them. So that is something that needs to be corrected. Various governments have tried to correct it, but it simply doesn't work. You know, I don't want to be unkind to somebody, a famous cricketer or infamous cricketer or a film star. You can choose your own victim. But it's like some cricketer may say, oh, he's been given so many chances and he still fails. Everybody says he has great talent. Or similarly, we say in the movies, oh, so-and-so gets so many opportunities and everybody says she has great talent, but still doesn't work. Every time she fails and the movie fails. So India, making India for defense has been something like that for the past many decades, because everybody has spoken about it. Everybody so far has gone wrong. In fact, even the Modi government in the last 6 years has talked about it many times. So much so that when they now say make in India in defense, you wonder if it's the old announcement or it's a new announcement. So maybe right now, this is a way of putting pressure on the system to say that, look, from this date, you cannot import this equipment, which means you have to buy in India. Now, good idea. I'll have the usual skepticism and all the health warnings, but I'd still say, all right, now you are saying that you have to find a vendor in India and let that vendor then find his partners overseas, technology transfer, etc., 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 and do the stuff for you, and let Indian vendors bid amongst, vendors means manufacturers, not agents, bid amongst themselves. So it is imperative that India develop a military industrial complex. India could have done without a military industrial complex if India was located in a better neighborhood. But India is not. India is located in a very nasty neighborhood. So India either has to be import dependent forever. And that has its problems. Besides the cost and besides the fact that nobody gives you really their cutting edge thing, it's also that when you go to buy, and usually you go to buy when you are in need, because a poor country, a stressed defense budget, you can't always do like Australia has now announced a 10-year defense plan. India, a country like India, is tough for India to freeze its defense budget. Freeze means to basically say that this will be my defense spending every year over the next 10 years. So India gets caught in a retail mindset. Now look at Apache helicopters, for example. They are the world's best helicopters to break an assault, to fight tanks, and for many such operations. Now, all that India ordered was 22. And then, because the army raised a question, they also wanted some Apaches. So 6 more have been ordered for them. Now, 22 with the Air Force, 6 with the army. Now, in case a big battle develops tomorrow, who's going to decide how many to employ where? Because this then leads to a piecemeal, penny pocket approach. Then you neither have the critical mass of a crucial equipment to turn a battle to be a game changer. Sorry to use that awful term because it's so misused. Or to even have large enough numbers or to be able to use them concentratedly in one place, because then you will say, I have only 28. Every division commander wants Apache, so you had 2 going there, 2 going there, 1 going there, like that. Similarly, now you will have the Rafales, you have 36. It'll take you 2 more years for 2 squadrons to come up. Again, 2 squadrons, you'll be struggling, particularly if you imagine a 2-front situation, where will they go? So you don't get enough numbers. And what then happens is you acquire a retail buyer's mindset. So for the past many years now, India has been buying military equipment as a child goes and buys a few toys from Hamleys. So child goes to Hamleys, he knows that his daddy or mummy have only that much money is allocated. So the child looks at everything longingly but says, okay, give me this train or give me this Barbie doll or give me this or give me that. But there is no plan to this. But a child outgrows his or her toys. But a country's army doesn't outgrow its weapon systems in such a short while. Weapon systems last generations. And the final problem with being import dependent is that today, it's very simple in today's warfare. Who wins the war today? It's not who has more numbers. It's not who has more firepower. All that's important. But essentially, wars are won by the side that can see the other side first. So if you can see the other side first, you are likely to kill the other side before the other side sees you. Which means electronics now, technology is very central to warfare. And you can imagine that most countries will not give you their top of the line missiles and electronics. The advantage, for example, with Rafale is that you are getting the top of the line missiles for now, but these are very expensive. On the other hand, for the large part of India's Air Force, and I'm talking more about Air Force because the Air Force is has been so much in focus now, the bulk of Indian Air Force, the battering ram or the muscle of Indian Air Force is the fleet of 250 plus Sukhoi 30s. That's a huge aircraft, carries a lot of armament. If you were able to put one missile of the AMRAAM class or that range on that aircraft itself by itself will give you air superiority vis-a-vis both Pakistan and China, given how long it can be up in the air, given how much ordnance it can carry. It's only now, because nobody would give you that missile for love or money, Russians won't give it to you, even if they have one, they won't offer it to you, that now DRDO has developed Astra, which will be built within India, but that also to become fully operational will take 2 more years. So with all this excitement about 5 Rafales coming in, if in the same period we were able to equip just 3 squadrons or 2 squadrons of Sukhoi 30s with an Astra class missile today, that would have caused a bigger shift of balance in air power in the region. So that's what we have to understand about technology. Nobody gives you their best, and if they give it to you, they charge you too much money. So the idea that India should move in this direction is good, that India should have a military industrial complex, it's imperative. Either India should change its strategic outlook, give away Kashmir to Pakistan and give China what it wants and settle your borders. Obviously, that's not going to happen. And if you're going to defend what you have right now, then you need modern armed forces. And for that, you need a military industrial complex, but with one qualification. India has a military industrial complex already, but it's all government of India, which is the military, and PSUs or ordnance factories. Ordnance factories are only now being corporatized, but they will still remain public sector undertakings. Our experience, India's experience with the public sector has been equal everywhere. In some cases, it's just that in some cases, they've been more disastrous than in the others. So Air India is one example, but there are any number of public sector companies, businesses, which have shut down, either shut down even while they were monopolies or shut down when they ceased to be monopolies, as BSNL, MTNL, not shut down, but bankrupted more or less. Air India bankrupted ever since it ceased to be a monopoly, or bankrupted because they would not change with the times. Look at the Hindustan photo films. They used to make the Hindu film, which was celebrated today. It makes nothing. See, on the other hand, Kodak. Kodak has now become, Kodak's film also went out of business. Kodak's cameras went out of business. But Kodak reinvented itself as a completely different company. PSUs can't do that. Steel Authority of India Limited, in fact, the day we speak, it's a good day because for the first time, a woman has been appointed its boss. But Steel Authority of India Limited manufactures steel at a per ton cost that's much higher than the private sector. And that's true everywhere. Now, public all monopolies are bad. Public sector monopolies are the worst. And what makes it even worse in the case of public of defense is that these are, first of all, monopoly is bad enough. Second, public sector monopoly is worse. And third, public sector monopoly with the government as the only buyer is the worst of all three worlds, because we Hindus, we believe in teen lok. So, teen lok, teeno lok mein, patal lok mein, yahan par, upar swarg lok mein, dharti lok mein, sabse buri baat hai. And that's where Indian defense has been caught. So, the exciting thing that I find today is that for the first time, it seems to be an enthusiastic effort to reach out to the private sector. And there are many private sector companies. I see lots of snide commentary that this is only Adani's and Ambani's. Adani's and Ambani's right now are making no defense manufacturer. And to say this is very unfair to people like Larsen and Toubro, Mahindra and Mahindra, Tata's, Advani Erlikon, Balchand Nagar. These are people who've been doing very high-tech work for defense manufacturing, also many in the areas of missiles, satellites, etc., where nobody overseas will sell you anything. So these are companies which have an opportunity. Now, I will close this with a couple of examples. First of all, I will tell you the history or something about Hindustan Aeronautics Limited. You know, all this controversy came up over Rafale, that government of India was denying a PSU the opportunity to manufacture this aircraft, and this was being given, or offsets were being given, to a private company, namely Anil Ambani's company. Now, what is HAL? Was it always a public sector company? So, a little bit of history, and understand, and when I say history, it's not that far in the past. Entrepreneurship is in Indian genetics. India did not import entrepreneurship. So in 1941, a gentleman called Walchand Hirachand Doshi, he decided to make airplanes in India. And what did he do when he decided to make airplanes in India? He went to the Maharaja of Mysore and he said, let's make airplanes in your state. So Maharaja of Mysore entered into a partnership with him, also found land for him. That's how in Bangalore on Domlur Road in a bungalow, this company was first set up. It was then called Hindustan Aircraft Limited, right? By 1942, World War had started. So the British realized that there was a threat from Japan and they needed backup for aircraft manufacturing and maintenance and repair in the subcontinent. So they bought 1/3 of this company. And in a way, they started working. This company started working with Indian defense. In 1942, while the World War was still going on, and Americans were operating a lot of air force, air power out of this region, especially over Japan, this factory was turned over to the Americans for their needs. And before the war ended, Hindustan Aircraft Limited had become the biggest aviation company in all of the east of the world. So India inherited this. It so happens that the British decided to nationalize it, I think 1943 or 44. But even when they bought out Walchand Hirachand, remember that was the parent of Walchand Nagar, etc., etc. When they bought them out, this was Walchand Hirachand Doshi, and along with him, there were other key Indian entrepreneurs whose names you might remember was Tulsidas Kilachand and D.M. Khatau. So you all know Kilachand family and Khatau family. They had investments, and also Maharaja of Mysore, that is Jaya Chamarajendra Wadiyar, he had investments. So the British bought the Indian shareholders out, but Maharaja of Mysore refused to sell his shareholding, but he ceded management control to the British because this was defense manufacture. It continued like that. Some of India's first aircraft, that is first Indian trainer, that is HT-2, Hindustan Trainer 2, and after that, Krishak, also Kiran, they were designed and made at Hindustan Aircraft Limited. It is only in 1964 that this was merged with an Indian Air Force manufacturing facility in Kanpur, which had just begun to manufacture HS-748, which is still flying, Avros. Can you imagine? This is we are the only air force in the world to be flying Avros in a sizable number. And just as an aside, it is a replacement for Avro now, which is a medium transport aircraft, which has now been reserved only for domestic manufacture. Now, in 1964, Hindustan Aircraft Company was merged with this Kanpur Indian Air Force factory, and that's how Hindustan Aeronautics was created. So, once again, now you are saying go to private sector. You had great private sector enterprise in our country that we killed over time. So, this is a story that I wanted to tell you. The second story I want to tell you is the story of Indian small arms. Now, if you look at this list, it says India will no longer import assault rifles, machine guns. As Snehesh pointed out to you, it doesn't similarly keep the carbines out. Why? Because carbines are needed now. Even now, Indian Army is using very old carbines. You see the old movies. In fact, I was seeing Vakht on Amazon Prime just the other day, and I found two cops there carrying those carbines. So these carbines are so old. I saw Vakht first when I was 8 in 1965. So Indian Army is using those. That's an urgent requirement. And as Nihesh tells you, an order is in the works with the UAE company. So those will come in because obviously Army thinks there's no point delaying it. Similarly, Army has bought a bunch of six Sawyer rifles for its frontline troops. It's also now India is going to be manufacturing AK-203s. Special forces have bought Israeli Tavor rifles, which are also being made in India. So the second story I want to tell you is India's small arms program. Now, we talk of making missiles, making frontline fighter aircraft, fourth generation, now fifth generation fighters. But we have still not been able to make a decent rifle for our army. The rifle that Indian Army used between 1963 and until about a decade back was the 7.62 mm Ishapur rifle based on the old Belgian FN design, Fabrique Nationale. Now, after the China war, when India realized that Indian troops had 303s and Chinese troops had automatic rifles and Indian troops were at a disadvantage, that became a big stereotype that Indian troops, the 303s, bolt-action rifles, were fighting the Chinese. India desperately needed rifles with automatic action. That's when the Americans, because America was collaborating with India, they agreed to ship to India all of one of their assembly lines in St. Louis that was shutting down. So that assembly line was shifted to India, to Ishapur, and that began to manufacture this 7.62 mm Indian rifle. Now, that rifle had a problem. That rifle fired one shot at a time, and increasingly Indian Army found that in Kashmir, Jaffna, Golden Temple, everywhere they were facing close quarter battle where they needed a volume of fire quickly. Plus, they needed lighter weapons and lighter ammunition. So, in mid-80s, Government of India cleared something called the INSAS program, Indian Small Arms Systems. Now, in 1988 summer, I went to Pune to the DRDO lab there, that is ARDE, Armament Research and Development Establishment. And from there, I wrote a story for India Today, and I'm sharing that link with you, which said that now this beautiful INSAS system has come up. It has 5.56 mm bullets. So ammunition is much lighter. The rifle is much lighter. It's made of plastics. The machine guns much lighter. It's much more effective. It's smaller, etc., etc., etc. And I quoted the director of the lab then, head of India's DRDO then, Dr. V.S. Arunachalam, and everybody saying, now it's all done. Now just induction will begin very fast. It will be the largest single order of small arms by any army in the world in a very long time. And what's happened? That weapon was made. It failed for whatever reasons. Armed forces were never happy with it. And today, that is 32 years later, you are making emergency purchases on retail basis of the Six Sawyer and Tavor rifles and then planning to make more rifles in India. So India has missed out on a lot of the basics over time. But one of the reasons, if you ask the Indian manufacturers, even public sector manufacturers, one of the reasons they say is because the armed forces always imagine something utopian that nobody makes. And because that's not available, we can't compete. And finally, when there is an emergency, they say, oh, let's go buy 30, 40 of those. Now, a very good example of that is the light tank. Now, the Chinese have flaunted some light tanks in the Himalayas and Ladakh. That has led to a clamor for light tanks on the Indian side. Now, it's not as if India didn't know that China had light tanks. But if there is a clamor now, the fact is that a light tank has been under development between DRDO and Larsen & Toubro, a private company. If there was interest earlier, any orders have been placed, maybe this would have seen the light of day. But today, in an emergency, you may end up buying a bunch of these, maybe a regiment or so now from Russia, because they have come and offered you a light tank and they know that you have desperate need. So they can up their price at this point, and by the time you start manufacturing yours, it will take time. So remember, very importantly, this light tank is not among the 101 items which are excluded from imports. So that is what happens if you don't have a long-term coordination or understanding between the military and your industry, because your military has the ability of buying volumes. Your industry can be remunerative in its pricing if it gets orders in volumes. Since you don't do that and you can't afford to buy volumes from overseas, it's too expensive. That's why you end up buying 28 Apache helicopters, two squadrons of Rafales, 100 plus something light howitzers, M777s. Now that can turn the balance in a battle. So why not 600? Because imports expensive. But artillery, tanks, these are not as high-tech as fighter aircraft or missiles. Plus, remember, India now has a humongous depth and power in automotive manufacturing. So the third story I will tell you is that, again, in 1985, I wrote a cover story for India Today on India's defense modernization. And then we had visited the DRDO labs and the factory in Awadi that makes tanks. And there we took a ride on MBT Arjun, and we were told that in the next 6 months, MBT Arjun will be in squadron service. MBT Arjun even now is in very limited use in very small numbers. And this is now 35 years gone since then. Now, if, because DRDO had developed a good armor and a few good things, they had said, we have these things and the armed forces have the specifications. So come Tata, come Mahindra, come Alwyn, come whoever and design a tank for us, promise a tank for us and bid amongst yourselves. Chances are by this time India would have 3,000, 3,500 copies of its own main battle tank, and India might have also exported a few thousand copies of these. So those are lost opportunities. Once again, if I have to be optimistic, I'd say, all right, if you give something so many chances, one day it succeeds, maybe the number of 101 this time is suspicious. I'm even happy to be superstitious for a moment. And if it works, then this will change the way Indian military works, and this will also change the way India's industry works, because India cannot be wasting all this industrial strength for its defense just because most of it happens to be in the private sector.